Hey, Derek Rydell here, founder of The Law of Emergence and author of the best-selling book, Emergence. And it's just so great to be with you here on your program success blueprint, how to get real results from the work you're doing. And this is primarily an additional bonus training that is I created to support you in like a quick start. And it really applies to any program that you're working on, whether it's Awakened Wealth, Emergineering, Soul Purpose Blueprint, virtually any of my programs, and ultimately any program that you enroll in and want to ultimately get results from. And as you'll see, there's even a framework here that can apply to anything you want to actually start and follow through on and complete. So whether it's enrolling in one of my programs and doing the work and making sure you get results, or ultimately anything you're working on. But this is specifically tailored to how to make sure you don't sabotage yourself and that you don't end up with just more shelf help, you know, where you get a book or a program and you get excited initially and it ends up on your shelf, either virtually or literally, and it makes your shelf look better. But you haven't really given yourself any real help. You haven't really helped yourself out. You haven't gotten on your own side. And so I'm going to go through why this happens and how to begin to really get on your own side. Remember, all of life is on your side. I'm on your side. These programs that I'm creating are for you and are on your side. And they absolutely work if you work them and if you stay with them. But for a variety of reasons, which we'll get into, we often don't. And now this isn't you. Don't take it personally and don't feel bad about it. It's statistically a fact that I forget the exact statistic right now, but it's like single digits of the percentage of people who buy a self-help or personal development book or program and actually get results. It might even be single digits for those that actually even finish the book or finish the program, let alone actually get results because they actually did the work in the book or the program. Single digits. It might even be as low as like 5 or 6 or 7%. It's pretty frightening. And it's because of what I'm going to describe to you right now. And it prevents so many good people with really good intentions and good programs from actually working. And then what happens is that because we don't understand what's really going on mentally, emotionally, you know, psychologically, and even spiritually, we end up projecting our pain. And so we blame the program, we blame the book, we blame the author, we blame the teacher, we blame the system, we blame our parents for never instilling a love of learning in us, you know, we blame our husband and our children for not supporting us, whatever the case may be, or we just blame ourselves and beat ourselves up. And that doesn't mean there's not books and programs and teachers that could get better and deliver their content better. That includes myself. But by and large, because we've seen the same program where lots of people get great results and then some people get terrible results or no results, you can see that happening over and over again. So there's something about the way the person engages the program. There's something about the mindset, the heart set, the practice of engagement that allows one person to get results and another person not to. Now, I also want to just add that you can't ever really determine whether a person is making progress, including and especially yourself, merely by what level of progress you appear to be making right now during this book or this program that you're going through. When you look back over your life, there are many books you started to read but didn't finish, many programs you maybe started but didn't finish, or even finished but then didn't really do the work, or did a little bit of it but not all of it. And maybe you even had a good reason. You're like, this first chapter was good, but the rest of it didn't resonate. Or this first part of the program was kind of good and I did this one thing, but the rest of it just didn't resonate. And what happens is it builds up a failure pattern. And you might then get to something where you really feel that yes again. And you're like, well, how do I know it's not going to disappoint me again? How do I know it's not going to fail me again? and you're bringing all that past baggage and projecting it onto the present and onto the future. Now, you've hopefully already gotten over some of that and said yes to your yes, and that's why you're even in one of these programs, or you wouldn't be hearing this particular training right now. But it can still kick in while we're doing a program. And it's important to know that everything you are doing with some level of sincerity, even if you don't finish it or follow through with it or really implement it, it's planting seeds. And even if you do the work but don't seem to get results, it's planting seeds and it's cultivating the soil of your soul. And like so much of life, you may not really understand the impact of it until later, sometimes much later. So when I look back at all the books and programs I did that I didn't seem to get results from, or it felt like ultimately it was the wrong thing for me to do, I can see that in retrospect, in hindsight, that all of it was adjusting me and dialing me in, and I was getting this little piece there or that little piece there, and it was a journey. And it wasn't about one program being the magic bullet. It wasn't about one opportunity being the magic bullet. It was that along the way, I was developing something. I was developing a knowledge, a wisdom, an expanded awareness. Seeds were planting, and then the next program, when I heard that thing again or heard it in a different way, that fertilized the soil and watered that seed. And then maybe the next program, I finally did the work and followed through. But because I had a seed that was already in fertile soil, I was able to like get results and maybe even get them quicker, right? It's like, you know, somebody, you know, the old jar example where you can't get the lid off the jar and a couple people try, and then the third person goes pop, and you're like, oh, I loosened it for you. Well, that's probably true. Those failed attempts loosen the lid so that the next person could actually pop it off more easily. So all of your efforts, your sincere desires, prayers, affirmations, meditations, programs, books, they're cultivating the soil of your soul, opening and expanding your mind and heart, planting seeds, and it's a progressive journey. So you can't just look at the past and say, these things didn't work. But that somehow, just as the soil itself is literally made of all the things that have died and decayed and rotted into the soil. That's what soil is made of, right? It's made of all the trees and animals and things that have died and decayed. And so a lot of those programs and things that you started but didn't finish, they may have died. They may have decayed and broken down and into your life experience. Well, that's created fertile soil that this program you're in right now is buried in, is having a chance to plant its seeds and grow from. So I wanted to start with that. I didn't even know I was going to talk about all that, but it's really important. I'm laying the groundwork, aka the soil, so that you can see that you want to start this moment. You never want to start something from a place of failure, from a place of limitation or lack. You want to start it as fertilely as possible. So if you can start this program, this next one you're about to embark in, from a place of feeling like everything you've done up to this moment has been doing the work it's supposed to in you and on you and for you. That you haven't, when you look behind, there's not a road of carnage and failures and bodies in the street. That it's all been fertilizing the soil so that now you're even more ripe and ready to grow. Okay? That's very important because it's the state of mind and heart that you start with that ultimately has so much to determine where you end up. The end is often in the beginning. That's why it says to he or she who is right in mind, they can do all the wrong things, it'll still turn out right. But to he or she who is wrong in mind, they can do all the right things and it will still turn out wrong. So we jump in at this level in terms of this blueprint of how to have a successful program with starting with the end in the beginning. And that means being very clear with what you intend to use this program for. What you intend to get out of it. What's the goal? And I want to invite you to be, you know, not just general, if it's a program that's helping you make more money or you know, heal your relationship or whatever. Don't just be, I want to have a great relationship as a result. Or I want to make more money. I want you to get a little bit more specific. I want you to tune into, let's say the ultimate big goal, if it's a program about money, is you want to be financially secure. You want to have enough money to pay all your bills. That's fine. But now let's be a little specific, more specific. You know, in many cases, the program itself isn't going to give you that full end result, but it might give you part of it. And most great programs are really building new character and new habits so that the result you get isn't just a one and done or just a one-off, but it's changing you and your life in such a way that it keeps paying a dividend over time. So think about that. Not just what do you want to achieve at the end, but who do you want to become? In other words, if it's, let's say, about money, do you want to feel, have a more of a consciousness of abundance? Do you want to live in a greater sense of gratitude and empowerment, confidence? If it's a program that's helping you tap into your vision and live it, do you want to be inspired? Do you want to have a clear vision and feel a sense of inspiration about your life that keeps growing every day? So look at the big goal, but then break it down to, well, and if I had that goal, how would I feel? If I had that goal, who would I be? How would I be showing up in my life? What are the qualities of feeling and being? And if I had that goal, what other things would I be doing? Maybe I'd be taking better care of myself. I'd be spending more time with my family or loved ones, more time on my art. And so get specific and then look at the program and create a three-tiered result. So you're going to articulate your vision, like what's the big what. You're going to break it down a little bit more into the details of like, how would you feel, who would you be, and what would you be doing if you achieved that. And then you want to look at a three-tiered result. And that looks like this. What is the absolute dream goal? So let's say it was to be financially secure, and then you got a little more specific. It was to be able to pay your bills, and you got a little more specific, and your bills are $5,000 a month, so you want to be able to earn at least $5,000 as a result of the program. And then you, and maybe you think even, and to put in some habits that start producing a regular income, you know, on a monthly basis. And then you're like, and if I had that, I would feel confident and powerful, and I wouldn't be afraid of money anymore. And you start to get really specific, and that's like your dream goal. And then you go, okay, and what would be your absolute bottom line? Like, I'm absolutely committed to at least getting this bottom line. Like, feel into it. Below that would just not feel like a success. And I want you to be fair with yourself, because if you've never earned more than $1,000 a month and you say my bottom goal is to earn $5,000, well, what if you earned an extra $500 a month, more than you've ever done? Wouldn't that be a potential success? So like, feel into really, you know, what maybe your failure would be if I already earn $1,000, by the end of the program, I'm earning $900 or $800 or less. And you go, okay, $1,000 would be great. If I could add just a couple hundred more bucks to my, and if I could just feel 10% more peaceful about it, that would be real progress. Over time, the magic of compounding interest, if I was making a couple hundred bucks more a month and I was feeling like 5% happier or more peaceful, where would I be within a year? So I want you to find that bottom line that feels like, yeah, that would be real movement. That would be real progress. And again, I want to remind you, most people get no perceptible progress from their books and programs because of these issues that come up, as we're going to unpack here. So what would be real progress? Okay, so that's the bottom line. So you've got the dream goal, and you got the bottom line. And then what's like that middle stretch goal? So maybe it's not $5,000 a month, or to fall head over heels in love with your soulmate, which would be the dream goal, to meet your soulmate. And the bottom line would be to feel confident enough to go out more often and talk to more people. Right? And then the stretch goal would be to start dating somebody pretty cool. So like, you know, the top line would be $5,000 a month or erasing your debt. The bottom line would be to, you know, earn a couple hundred bucks more a month and feel 5% more confident and peaceful around money. And then the stretch goal would be to earn $1,000 more a month or to like earn an extra couple thousand dollars just in general by the end of this program. And so you want to find, that's the three tiers. So it's kind of like, you know, shoot for the stars and the very least you'll land on the moon. But it's also, so you have a big goal. You're not afraid of a big goal and you have something you're really stretching towards, you know, because you may not be able to fully engage your big goal and believe it on every level, but you're really stretching for the stretch goal. But you're also committed to the bottom line goal. Like no matter what, I'm all in to achieve this goal, come what may. And we're going to talk more about the no matter what mindset, which is really, really critical. Okay. We're going to talk more about commitment is the key to winning. Okay. So this is the first part. This is the what. And then you want to get down into the why. Why do you want that $5,000 a month or at least a couple hundred a month? Why do you want that soulmate? And you know, at first you're going to come up with the obvious answers. Well, I want to be financially free. I want to feel peaceful. But I want you to keep going. Keep going. Think about it in terms of all the structures in your life. How will it affect your health? How will it affect your creativity, your opportunity, your willingness to show up bigger in the world? How will it affect your family, your loved ones? And if it has something to do with building your business or creating your works of art, how will those affect people? What could be the positive impact? If you could finally write that book or launch that business or whatever, how's that going to impact? And really see the faces of those people. Really, really consider the difference you'll make in their lives. Perhaps the lives you'll change or save, or the model you'll leave for your loved ones, your kids, and how it'll impact their lives, not just today and tomorrow, but like next year and 5 years from now when they grow up and have their own families. How will you getting this result make a difference in your life, in every area possible, in the lives of your children, your loved ones, your clients, the world? And really give yourself some time, you know, journal about it. And what you're looking for is you'll often start off with the surface stuff, but you're looking for it to kind of strike that chord, that vein of gold within your soul and your heart, and just makes you go, oh, yeah, that's why. And all of it's good though. The more you can stack where that why is so, it's fuel, it's so powerful, then the more you're going to have the gas to get over those humps. You know, when you hit the dead end, you're going to be able to go in reverse, back up, start over again. You're going to have the fuel for that, okay? So I want you to do that. And now you might be thinking, geez, Derek, I haven't even started the program. I'm already feeling exhausted. We're going to talk about that. If you're already feeling overwhelmed, if even this is making you feel overwhelmed, then I'm going to be speaking directly to overwhelm, which is one of the number one reasons why people quit. But it might sound like this is like a whole program in and of itself. It is. And it's ultimately going to build in you a level of habit and character so that in the future, as you work on the next program or the next thing, you're going to have a different level of approaching it that's going to create success patterns in your life. So it's worth the investment of this time. Now, the next thing is you've got your what, you've got your why, and now you want to look at your reasons why not. So, you know, we often talk about don't project worst case scenarios and don't focus on the negative. And there's a lot of value to that. However, it's also important to take a moment and become conscious of all the reasons why you usually don't get results. Why you usually, you know, it's because I don't finish what I start. I come up with all these reasons why I can't, why I shouldn't, why it's too late, why, you know, whatever. My children end up stopping me, my husband, my partner, my job. I want you to write a list of the reasons why you usually don't get results, or if you're very honest with yourself, why you think you won't get results this time. Even if you've already joined the program, which you have if you're listening to this, I want you to write a list and bring all of that to conscious mind. Because the more conscious you are of it in advance, the less likely it's going to shock you and surprise you. Like, oh my God, I'm feeling so sad or scared or overwhelmed. Oh, but instead you're like, oh yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I presumed that. It's what normally stops me. Huh. And Derek's talked about all these different patterns, which I'm going to break down right now. So maybe I've got a little bit of consciousness around, a little bit of space. So I'm not just a reaction. I now have real responsibility, the ability to respond from vision, not react from condition. So take a moment to write down all the why nots, all the reasons why you haven't succeeded to get results in the past when you do programs or read books, and the reasons why, if you're really honest, you're afraid you won't this time. Now, let me just break down some of these. There's one of them is just an unconscious expectation that it won't work because it's not worked before. Okay. And it's a variety of reasons why it hasn't worked, but there's just this unconscious expectation. It's just not going to work. And sometimes we kind of will or muscle our way past that feeling, but it's like driving with your one foot on the gas and one foot on the brakes. Eventually it wears you out. So, and we're going to unpack what's usually underneath that, but that's just important to know that there's often an unconscious expectation that it won't work because it hasn't before. And that's true in all of our life. There's an unconscious expectation it hasn't worked or it won't work because it hasn't before. And of course, that's an odd thing to think of because most things we're doing, you know, if we're trying to do something new, we've never done it before. So of course it hasn't worked before. But a lot of us just have this core wounding around, it's not going to work, it's never going to happen, you know, because I'm not good enough, not worthy enough, etc. So I just want you to be aware of that. There's often this unconscious expectation it won't work because it hasn't before. But now there's a reason why most of all the problems I'm going to outline here come up. The number one problem why we fail, and that's because the ego, it's a set of programs. So to the ego, change is equivalent to danger or death. And so what that means is that it's working overtime to hold you together. It's working overtime to keep the system running, not keep the system growing and innovating, but to keep the system running as it is. Now, there's sometimes ways you can add on or expand within the system, but real change, real transformation, which is what most people need to actually improve their lives, is a threat to the ego. It's like a virus to the system software. And so it will do everything it can, and it's had millennia to really refine its capacity at stopping you at the threshold. Now, if you've been in any of my programs, calls, you've heard me talk about thresholds a lot before, but it certainly bears repeating. So what happens, you know, usually before you say yes to your yes and join a program and take the leap to start something that's going to potentially grow you and improve your life, you run into these thresholds. And it sounds like, I don't have time, I don't have the money, I don't have the support. It'll never work. What if it doesn't work? What if I'm not smart enough? It's too late. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too black. I'm too white. I'm a woman. I'm a man. I mean, it will use anything. And it's based on your own story and your own experience where those tend to fall more on. And then once you're in the program, it uses a lot of those again. And then adds to them, you know, I don't have enough time, I'm not supported, I'm not good enough, it's not working, it'll never work, nothing ever does. See, I knew it wouldn't work. It's too late. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too slow. I'm too stupid. I'm too dumb. I've been born under a bad sign. Mercury is in retrograde. Anyone? Anyone? Or you start to have just feelings that are not supportive. You feel overwhelmed. That's one of the biggies. Uninspired. You sit down to write that book or to do that piece of writing as part of the program, and you're not inspired. Or you feel sad suddenly. You're mad. You're scared. You're depressed. You're tired. You're sick. You're sick and tired. You're sick, tired, stupid, and ugly. Right? I mean, this is what we do to ourselves. This is what comes up. I should say this is what the ego, this structure, is doing to us. You're moving through the minefield that is trying to protect you from getting outside of your camp, outside of your known self, the safety zone, the green zone, into the new land, the undiscovered frontier, where the mystery is, where real change is, where all solutions and answers are. They're outside of the encampment. They're outside of the green zone. They're outside of your current self-concepts. But that's like going outside of the system software. So the ego is doing, and you can also think of the minefield as M-I-N-E, like, this is mine, this is mine, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is mine. All the sense of a selfhood. Me, mine, my, me. It's a minefield. It's all mine. It's all me. And anything that goes outside of your self-concept of who and what you are is a threat to the ego. And it's the only way you can have real solutions, real answers, and real progress. So you have to walk through that minefield. The good news is that anything that gets blown up along the way is the false self. But the ego is doing everything it can to protect you and to keep you and your self-concepts intact. But, you know, it can feel bad. It can feel really real, really bad, and even manifest as experiences that you can point to and say, it's not just in my head. See, look, I really am tired. I really am sick. I really am broke in my bank account. I really am not supported. They really are making fun of me. Look, I really am slow. I really am behind. It's not just in my head, Derek. And it can create all kinds of manifest experiences in the field as a way to say, see, I really can't. It really is too late or not the right timing. And knowing that everything I just described is normal and really bringing your unique version of it to consciousness is going to help you let go a little bit more. It's going to let you start not freak out and react to it and think it's this weird, strange thing and it's just you and there's something wrong with you. Give you a little more spaciousness so that you can handle it more. So let's jump into one of the number one, once you're in it, one of the number one things. And this is overwhelm. So overwhelm is one of the number one reasons why people quit programs. They just feel overwhelmed. And a lot of you walk around in a subtle state of overwhelm. And then once you say yes to something, it really kicks into overdrive. And this is caused by a variety of things. One is, you just don't have much space in your life, which means you don't have much space in your mind. And so it means your mind is constantly spinning, thinking, solving, working, or there's such a protective defensive mechanism that there's just no room in the mind. And so one of the most important practices is to begin to practice mindfulness, to begin to, on a daily basis, stop for a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and just observe your breath. And notice when the thoughts come up and the spinning of the mind, which turns into emotions, you recognize it, but you don't get engaged in it. As soon as you can, you observe it, you breathe, and you come back to the breath again. Now, you might get pulled away 100 times in 5 minutes. But every time you notice, oh, there I go, spinning in my mind, there I go, there's my emotions, there's a sensation, I'm going to breathe, come back to my breath. And maybe you can observe your breath for just a moment, and then you're pulled off again. Every time you do that, you're building the muscle of having dominion over your attention. You're creating a little bit of space between your consciousness and the content of your consciousness. You are not the content, but you've become so identified and engaged and reactive that you think you're all those thoughts and feelings and sensations and circumstances, and you're just really a ball of reactions. You are not really there. The light is on, but nobody's really home. You're just a ball of reactions. And so there's just very little space for creativity, inspiration, and to have the energy you need to invest in this moment, because all of your energy is being invested in the past. So that's the first piece to help overcome overwhelm. All of these elements are to help it, as you're going to see: structure, planning, etc. Overwhelm also is an emotional pattern that just becomes an emotional habit. And the ego knows that if it activates overwhelm, you're going to stop. So whenever you're on the verge of real growth, real change, it can bring it up. It knows it's going to take you out of the game. And you do learn eventually to feel the overwhelm, to notice it, but to still do what you got to do. And eventually it starts to lose its energy merely because you're not fighting with it, judging it, or letting it take you out of the game. It's just an emotional pattern. It's not the truth. Now, if you really are doing way too much as we get down through this, that will be addressed too. But the number one cause of overwhelm is usually there's not enough space in your life and in your mind, and you do need to reprioritize around the things that really matter. And you need to have mindfulness so that you need to be able to stop and observe your thinking and feeling without getting engaged. And, you know, one of the reasons why we're doing so much and not necessarily the right things or the things that really matter is because we've got a shadow around our own selfishness or worth. And so we've built a life based on taking care of everybody else and reacting to everybody else's needs and not our own. That also builds overwhelm. But what I want to say is, even if you can't figure out all the reasons behind it, as you learn to just have a vision, a strong what and a strong why, and you get the rest of these pieces so that you're going to do what you commit to regardless of what you feel, overwhelm will start to lose its fuel, its gas, because you won't be feeding it. And it will start to break down and become less and less and less. The next big reason, but again, that when if you start going through the program and you're feeling overwhelm, you have to remember it's just a pattern. And if you give into it now, it's won the day, and it will win again and again and again, and it will win forever. And you will never grow past that threshold. So you have to make a decision at some point, and I invite you to make that decision now. No matter what I'm feeling, I'm not going to quit on myself. Life is on my side. I'm going to be on my own side now. My emotions don't tell me the truth. They tell me what I believe. My beliefs don't tell me the truth. They tell me what my best guess at reality has been up to this moment. My emotions don't actually have any power over me. I can prove it. See, I'm feeling this, but I'm going to do the thing anyway. And lo and behold, I can. So the emotion doesn't really have power. It may not feel good, but it doesn't have power. And the more you act from vision instead of emotion, the more you re-empower yourself and you reclaim the stolen power from that emotional pattern. To react to your emotions and let them determine what you do or don't do is called cognitive emotional reasoning. It's a cognitive disorder that so many people have because we've been conditioned to believe our emotions control us. So whenever you can look at the emotion, feel it, bless it, but then do what you've committed to. you take back your power and you heal yourself of that emotional reasoning disorder. The next number one biggest thing is lack of time. Now, lack of time is an illusion, self-created illusion, because everybody has the same amount of time. And you might say, well, you know, look at it. They got all this help. They got all this money. But at some point in their life, they had the same challenges as most people. And they had to make decisions that have led them to have more time. And I'll tell you what they did. At some point, they decided to put their attention on the things that mattered most, the things that were going to truly bring them joy and fulfillment and move the needle, the things that were really moving them towards their vision. And they had to decide, which means to cut away from. It comes from the same root as incision, decision, to cut away from everything else. So they may have had all these pressures from their friends. All these friends were going out while they decided they were going to stay home and study. Or all their friends were partying and they were going to stay home and write. Or their friends were doing whatever, or their family was judging them and they were going to go in their room and meditate anyways. Or their husband or wife was not liking the fact that they weren't cooking dinner for them every day or cleaning the house or whatever the case may be, but they decide they were going to take some time every day or every week to focus on themselves. Or their kids would say they're being selfish and try to manipulate them into whatever, and they decide they were going to do it anyway. Or they had a full-time job and they were tired at the end of the day, and there was all good reasons to just get a TV dinner and plop down in the recliner and watch Jeopardy. But they decide they were going to sit up and they were going to write. Even in their noisy house, they were going to prop up a TV tray in the laundry room, close the door, and work on their novel. That's what Stephen King would do at the end of the day after a long day as a janitor. So over and over and over again, they made a decision. It wasn't easy. And so they made the time. They said they had a strong no so that they could have a strong yes. So, and whatever difficulties lie in you doing that is part of your character development. If you have to have hard conversations with your spouse, your parents, your kids, if you have to say no to internet surfing or certain TV watching or going out with friends in order to do whatever it is, that's your growing edge. So, and then what happens, the other reason is that, you know, because we've built up shadows around being selfish, being stingy, being greedy, being self-centered, and wanting to be a good boy and a good girl and a mommy's helper and a people pleaser and daddy's little girl and all these things so that we could look good, feel good, be loved, and not be rejected. And now we are in the business of pleasing others and taking care of everybody else's needs and saying yes to everybody else and saying no to ourselves. Or, you know, we are, the other issue that comes along is because of our upbringing, we are really wired for survival. So everything is about survival. It's all about doing, if it doesn't make me money right away, I can't do it right now. If I might lose some money, I can't do it right now. If I have to cut back, whatever the case is, it's a level of survival, self-accept, you know, being loved, being accepted. And that creates this way of living where we are either trying to protect ourselves or survive or please others so that we don't get hurt and rejected. And there's not much room left in that scenario to really say yes to our deepest yes and build the life we deeply, deeply dream of. And if you wait for that to just get better, you will wait till the end of your life. Life doesn't just happen. It happens just. It happens through lawful principles that you consciously practice and apply. You have to make the time. You have to actually make a decision that this matters, that you matter. You know, the average person is willing to step in front of a train to save the life of a loved one, but they won't step out of their comfort zone to save their own life. You have to make a decision that you matter, that this matters. You want to wake up out of the illusion that there's always tomorrow, there's always next year. No, there isn't. There isn't. If you've been telling yourself that now, you will say it forever until it brings you to your knees. Whatever you're waiting for, you're waiting with and weighing it down. It's time to get on the ultimate weight loss program. Make a decision. Make the time. Decide you matter. This matters. This is your time. This is your year. You're going to go all in. And then the next biggest thing is a lack of support, which obviously fits into this. Other people's opinions and a lack of support. So you want to go into this with your eyes wide open. You want to set yourself up for success. You want to talk to those who have the greatest possibility of sabotaging your success. Now, they may mean well. Oh, you know, Dad's like, what are you doing, honey? Like, what are you doing with this self-improvement thing, trying to launch a coaching practice thing? Or your husband's like, you've been doing this thing for months or years, it hasn't made us any money yet. You know, is this really worth our time and money? I mean, come on now. Can you get a regular job or whatever? And you want to become very, that's why I said in the beginning, write down all the reasons why you haven't and why you might not follow through. And then you have to have those conversations, and you're not looking for permission. I want to be very clear. You're not going to your children or your family or your spouse, you know, and asking permission. Now, if you're underage, if you're not an adult, then yes, you would have to get permission probably from your parents. But for most of the case, I'm not talking to 17-year-olds. I'm talking to an adult here. And you are an adult. You do not need to ask permission to live your life fully. Now, if that's a big idea for you, I'm so glad you're here. Because so many people are in relationships where they feel like they have to ask for permission. You know, their husband has to agree to it. Their dad, even though they're an adult now, their dad has to give them their approval, or their mom. No. Nobody, you do not have to ask permission, but you can ask them to get on board. You can ask them to support you. You can, and that doesn't mean they will, but you certainly can ask for it. That's your first step of empowerment. And then if they're not willing to give it, you don't not do it. You say, okay. You know, maybe you can seek to understand their reasons, but you let them know this train is moving. And I'd love for you to be on board, but it's moving. I'm going somewhere. You know, I'm going to do this program. I'm going to get results. I'm going to live more deeply and more fully and fulfill my greater purpose, or write my book, or launch my practice, or whatever the case may be. And I would love for you to be part of it, mom, dad, brother, sister, family, husband, wife, friend. But I'm not, and you may not say this overtly, but it's how you stand. But I'm not asking for permission. And then if they're willing to at least still be there in your life, then you have to negotiate or set up something that works. So if you're a parent, obviously, you may have some responsibilities. You don't just shirk them, but you might have to negotiate with your partner. They take over some of them. And maybe you say, oh, you know, if you do this for the next couple of months, here's what I'll do in return. Or maybe you just ask if they'll do it. Because at the end of the day, that's what family's for. And same with your kids. And you set up boundaries. So if you're going to work, you know, for 2 hours every day after work, or an hour, or a couple hours on the weekend, or an hour in the morning, or after the kids go to school, or whatever, and you need to let your partner, your spouse, or your children know, because usually you're available to them, then you set that up in advance, and you set very clear, healthy boundaries. Like, I know it looks like I'm home because I'm sitting in my office, but during these hours, or if the doors close, and maybe even make a sign on the door, like a studio with the red light flashing, you know, and it means that it's filming, you don't barge in. Unless you're bleeding to death, unless the house is on fire, this is my time. Honor it, please. And so you have to set those healthy boundaries, and you have to be very clear. That doesn't mean if it's really, really urgent to you because you want me to make you food now, or because you just found something that you think is really interesting and it feels urgent to you, therefore you can knock or barge or get my time. No. unless you're bleeding to death or the house is burning down. During this time, you're on your own. If you're hungry, go make your own food. If you have something interesting and exciting, I would love to hear about it after. And again, wherever that pushes your buttons and bumps you, that's your growing edge. It's part of your character development. So that has to be set up. You want to set yourself up for support. You have to be on your own side. Then you invite those to support you. And then beyond that, you create healthy boundaries that love, value, respect, and support you. Now, a little side note to that is, you want to be mindful that you're also extending the same level of respect and support to others. So if your child is sitting there and they're really loving to read or work on their computer, that you don't just go and drag them off their path whenever you feel like it because you're the parent. You want to extend, or your husband is watching an important game, or your wife is whatever. You want to notice if you're not giving them the same thing. And that might even be a negotiating chip. Hey, honey, I know you like to watch football on Mondays, or I know you like to have, you know, your knitting crew over on Sundays, or I know you like to go to lunch with your friend, or hey, son or daughter, I know you like to get together with friends and play video games. How about if, you know, you can have time to do that and mom won't barge in and tell you to clean your room, or you can negotiate. Okay. Now, the next thing, now you've got a plan, or you've got your what, you've got your why, you know the things that are likely to come up. You're beginning to organize your life to set you up for success. You're making a decision to make this important, to make it matter, and to make the time. And you're having the necessary conversations to create healthy boundaries. The next big thing that comes up, and then you need to create a plan, and we're going to talk about that a little more in depth. That's why I'm saving it for after. But the next thing that comes up, especially if you're doing this a program live, or you're interacting with other people in the program, or perhaps you are reading testimonials of people that have done it before, et cetera, or you're just looking out at the world at others that are doing the thing you're trying to do, the next biggest stumbling block is comparison. So whether it's live, online, you're comparing to people that have done it before, it's so easy to go, wow, look at the results they got. I'm not getting those. This isn't working for me. Or look at how quickly they got those results. I've been doing it for that long. I haven't gotten nearly that. This isn't working. I must be broken. I must not be wired for this. I'm too slow. I'm already behind. I'm never going to catch up. And all these shadows start bubbling up. I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy. It's never going to work. See, I knew it. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm not enough this. I'm not enough that. Compare and despair. You want to live in despair? Just live a life where you compare. You don't know their journey. You don't know their program. You don't know what they've done before that's planted seeds and fertilized the soil. You just can't. Now, what can you compare to? You can compare yourself to principles and practices. So you can go, well, what are the underlying principles and the underlying practices that are proven to work? Am I doing those? You know, if somebody goes out into the river, the lake, the water, and they float, and you go out and you sink, it doesn't really do you any good to go, oh my God, look at, they floated so much easier than me, so much quicker than me. I'm stupid. I suck. This is never going to work. What would be helpful is to go, huh, what's the underlying principles of buoyancy? Like, what is that? Oh, and then how did they align their body? How did they practice that principle of buoyancy to float? Okay, great. So now I can practice that. It's not just the practice that makes perfection. It's the practice of perfect ideas, the practice of perfection. So once you understand the principle, the real principle, now you're practicing that. Now you're doing right practice. That you can judge yourself against. Am I doing right practice of right principle? But you can't judge yourself against, oh, look at them. They did it faster. They did it better. They did it more. They got further sooner. That's not going to help you. But instead, what are the principles? What are the practices? And then what is my unique character development? What unique shadows am I dealing with? One person might get out in the world so much quicker because for them, that's not their issue. For them, their issue is needing to work on being less visible, silent. Whereas yours might be, you can be silent and listen to people easily. It's getting out in the world that's hard for you, you see? So you cannot compare that way. Underlying principles, best practices, and then your job is to seek to master those. And you can only compare yourself to your past self. Am I making progress? Am I growing? Am I becoming more aware of the principles? Am I building stronger habits around the principles and practices? Am I practicing consistently? Am I staying the course? Am I embracing my shadows? Am I loving myself more, accepting myself, being more kind and patient? Am I willing to do the work and follow through even when I don't feel like it? So I'm building a level of commitment, discipline, character. These are things you can really look at and compare with where you were yesterday, last month, last year. Not to judge yourself, but to go, oh, okay, I'm still getting caught here when I compare myself to where I was before. Let me understand that, and now let me take the next step. That's productive. It's not productive to compare yourself on the surface with other people, okay? So now to really set yourself up for success, I mean, is this helpful? Is this good? Are you feeling the groove here? How important this is. It's not just about having a successful program. It's really about living a successful, progressive life. So to really set yourself up for success, you need to do the following. You need to have a clear goal and intention. You want to break it down to specifics, and then you want to break that down into those three levels: the big dream goal, the stretch goal, and the bottom line goal. The dream goal is the one you're shooting for the stars. The stretch goal is, at the very least, you're going to stretch to land on the moon. And the committed bottom line goal is you're going to stay in the game until you get at least that result. It's a commitment, right? You might start off a game, football game, saying, or basketball game, oh, I'm going to get 100 points. That's your big dream goal. And the stretch goal is, if we at least got 50 points, that would have been better than we've ever done before or the last few games. But the bottom line goal is, I'm going to make a touchdown, or I'm going to get the ball in the basket at some point, at least make a score. And it might take you a bunch of plays, but you're going to keep running down that field no matter how many times you get tackled, and until you get to that end zone. So you want to have that goal. Then you want to have a strong why. Why are you doing it? And keep asking, well, why do you want that? Why do you want that? What I call the five whys. And you keep going, why, and really getting it tapped into the deep heart of the reason why. You want to write it down. Now, once you have this strong vision, you can do the VVR process around it, the visualization, vibration, radiation, daily, so that you're activating the feeling tone. Remember, the end is in the beginning. You want to feel like the person you would feel like if you already made it and you completely rocked the program and you got all that you wanted. As I like to say, your intention is, I'm going to get everything I need and more than I can imagine. I'm going to get everything I need and more than I can imagine. And you have a vision for what that would look like, who you would be, how you would feel, what you would do in the world. And you activate that vision every single day, and or especially before you begin working on the program each day or every other day, whenever, so that you're feeling the frequency and the vibration of the end result. And that starts to get activated and embodied, and that really lifts you and really supports you. The visualization, vibration, radiation process, you can get that as a free download in the Emergence Academy or on my resource section on my website if you don't already have it. Okay? Then you're going to organize your life for success. You're not going to hope it fits in. You're not going to hope people support you. You're going to proactively get the relationships and get the support, or give yourself the support that you need. Relationships aren't 100%. It's not 50-50. You have to take 100% responsibility for the result you want. You have to talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to your kids, talk to your boss, talk to your mom and dad, whoever might be in any way a potential deterrent whether they mean to be or not, so that you organize your life for success. Then you want to create a real plan. A vision without a plan is a fantasy. And you want to create what I call a learning plan. So if you know you're going to grow certain skills and learn certain things in the program, you want to actually create a real plan. Like if you were in college and you knew you had to read these 5 books and, you know, to ultimately take these tests by the end of the semester, you hopefully wouldn't just sort of meander through life and hope you eventually get to it. You'd actually set time aside to study. You'd actually set time aside to read and to write and to study, right? Well, you have to do the same thing now. I know your life might be busier now, but the fundamental principle hasn't changed. If you want to grow in a real, progressive, consistent, guaranteed way, you have to be methodical about it until it becomes such a subjective habit that it's just who you are. You have to know that what you're doing and learning, especially if you're seeking to grow in any really transformational way, your current life isn't set up for you to grow that way. That's why you haven't grown that way yet. So you have to create a real learning plan. Now, it doesn't have to be 6 hours a day, 10 hours a day. It could be 1 hour a day. It could be 20 minutes a day. But something that is consistent, something that is a real plan. And then you have to put it on your real schedule. A vision without a plan is a fantasy, but a plan without a schedule is just wishful thinking. Because you do have things on your schedule, and they're going to always take priority and precedent. And hopefully you're in this program, whatever program you're in, because it matters to you. It's important to your life. So you have to make it as important as the rest of your life. You got to put it on your schedule. You have to make an appointment with yourself. If you want to meditate every day, you got to make an appointment with it for it. If you want to read a little bit every day, you got to make an appointment. And if you don't like scheduling and planning, I understand, and I invite you to do it anyway. Because how has it been working so far? Now, if you say, Derek, I have no problem. I absolutely always do it. I always get great results and I get through it. I don't need to put a plan. Then I would say, don't fix it if it ain't broken. But you're probably listening to this because that's not the case. So make a real learning plan. Put it on your real schedule. And you might have to organize things. You might have to move some things around. And now when you've got it on your schedule, keep the appointment. Commit. You're not just merely having interest. You are having a commitment. Understand that your destiny is not determined by your circumstances or anybody else's circumstances or opinion. It's determined by your character. Your character is determined by your commitment. Or rather, I'm sorry, your character is determined by your habits, because they become automatic. And your habits are determined by what you are committed to, which means what you do consistently, no matter what, until you get results. You're committed. When a guy's running down the field for that touchdown, that end zone, he or she is not hoping and wishing and merely praying. They are all in. When they throw the ball, they're not just hoping, wishing, and praying. They are committed to that goal. So a goal is not a wish list. You can have a wish list. You can create a wish list of all things and put it on your refrigerator, but that's not the same as a goal. A goal is something you're committed to. And when you keep your commitment, you build integrity, trust, and self-worth. When you break your commitment, you breach and erode your integrity, trust, and self-worth. And you have to make and keep your word to yourself. You can't go, oh, well, then I'm not going to make a commitment, so that way I won't hurt my integrity. No. If you don't make commitments, your self-worth and integrity and trust erodes. It's a muscle. And to build the muscle of really trusting and believing in yourself, really feeling confident and knowing you'll do what you say you'll do no matter what, which is integrity, which is confidence, which is self-worth, self-esteem, and trust, You must make commitments and then you must keep them. There is no way around it. Okay? So make a commitment and then put it on your schedule and then keep the appointment no matter what. And of course, then as you look at your learning plan and you look at the different levels of what you're learning and developing in terms of your character, your competencies, is there a daily practice that would support that? So for example, you know, most of my programs are some kind of visualization, affirmation, prayer, meditation, practice that goes with it. Can you make that a daily practice? Or maybe there's a writing component to it. Can you do some kind of writing on a daily basis, journaling? You want to build your life around practices that become habits that are in integrity with the kind of person you want to be and the kind of life and goals you want to achieve, so that your day is made up of these habits. So maybe you write a little bit every day. Like for me, you know, as a writer and a teacher and a speaker and a healer and a coach and an artist and a father and a friend and a lover, you know, most of my days have these built-in habits where I'm exercising, I'm eating good foods, drinking a lot of water, I'm meditating, I'm praying, I'm visualizing, I'm affirming, I'm reaching out to my children or spending time with friends, family, and children. I'm spending time creating material to teach and serve my audience. It's like a practice. It's not, I don't wake up and go, huh, what to do today? Now, some days that are meant to be open and free, I do, but it's just like, it's like a practice. And so I don't, that way I'm not always having to check in with my emotions and let them determine it. So have some kind of daily practices that support and strengthen your success habits. And then again, you've got this goal, you've got the reason why, you've got a real learning plan, it's on your schedule, you've made arrangements with the people in your life to support you or created healthy boundaries, and you're committed to it. So now you will make those appointments and do the work no matter what. Now, does that mean in truth there's never, ever, ever a reason not to? Of course not. If they're bleeding, if the house is on fire, you can break your commitment. If something truly emergency comes up, you can break your commitment. But I want to tell you something. Rarely do real emergencies occur. We make everything urgent and emergency so that we have a good reason to not do it. You know, your inbox is mostly a clever organizing place for everybody else's agendas and urgencies. And we might have learned to feel busy by constantly being in motion, dealing with all that stuff. None of that's almost ever an emergency. And even when it appears to be an emergency, oh my God, you got to answer this. Oh my God, urgent, 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 you know, in the subtext of the email, the subject, or, you know, urgent voicemails. In my experience of decades of living and studying and interacting with thousands and thousands of people, there's a fun experiment that I've done where I look at all those urgent things. And when I go on retreats and I'm silent for 10 days and I have no access to internet or phone or email or anything, there will be emails and voicemails that are urgent and, oh my God, I need your help. I just need you. And then 3 days later, there's an email or voicemail where, you know, maybe it's like, where are you? Where are you? And then eventually it's like, I might call them back when I get home. How'd that thing go? Oh yeah, that's fine. It was no big deal. It worked out. Or it's like, where were you? Well, I was on a silent retreat. Oh, so how'd that thing work out that was so urgent? It's like, oh, it worked out. So-and-so called. It turned out to be nothing. Or I figured this thing out over here. Oh, I found a solution over there. People figure their lives out, including your children. And it's almost never urgent or an emergency, unless you're like a brain surgeon on call. Then it's usually an emergency, but for most of it, that's not the case. So it's important to know that that's true and to not let your life be determined by all of these seeming emergencies. During your time, when it's your time, your hour every day, whatever. Turn your phone off, turn your email off, maybe even, you know, whatever you can do, you don't need to be available. You know, there was a day, believe it or not, and I know most of you know this, where we didn't have voicemail even. We didn't even have answering machines. I remember when we didn't have answering machines. I was a kid. There weren't answering machines. There certainly weren't cell phones, pagers, internet, email. There wasn't even call waiting. And so if somebody called and you weren't home, it just rang and rang and rang and rang and rang. Or if they called while you were on the phone with somebody else, it was just busy. How in the world did the world not completely implode? It was totally fine. Nothing was missing. No, everything got done just fine. I could be out for the day and nobody could get a hold of me. Can you imagine? Nobody can get a hold of you throughout the day because you don't have a pager, a cell phone, an email on your phone. Oh my, you don't even have a voicemail at home. So it's like they could have called you all day and then you get home and they don't call you. And how in the world would you survive? Well, we did it, and we did it just fine. There were presidents of the United States. There were CEOs of great companies. There were, you know, all manner of artists and healers and coaches and spiritual leaders. Jesus walked around the promised land, the Holy Land, without voicemail and internet and email, and he did just fine, you know? So it's really important to create some perspective around this. You don't have to be available to everybody, even though they're on that system and with an illusion of 24/7 availability. You don't have to be on it. And you will discover the world keeps turning. Okay? So you're going to make a plan. You're going to put it on your calendar. You're going to be committed to it. You're going to meet your appointments. And you're going to be kind and gentle and loving to yourself. Take good care of yourself. While you're going through this program, eat well as best you can. Sleep well as best you can. Exercise, get movement, drink lots of good water. Speak to yourself every day in a loving, kind, positive, affirmative way. Be on your own side. When you stumble, because you will, dust yourself off, pick yourself back up. And the more you talk to yourself really well and really nicely over and over and over again, it'll become a habit. Like I notice now for me, when I stumble, when I do something stupid, when I make a mistake, almost organically and sometimes out loud, I'll literally hear myself say to myself, "Oh, Derek, I just love you. You're so silly. You know, it's cool, man. No, don't worry about it, man. I mean, it's fine. You're doing great. You're doing your best. I love you, man. I appreciate you. You're sticking with it. You're still in the game. It's cool, man. You're fine." I just find myself just like so kind and loving. And it's literally like this other person is talking to me, you know, but sometimes it actually comes out of my mouth and I'm just loving on myself and I'm just picking myself up and dusting myself off and going, "It's cool, buddy. You got this. I'm with you, man." It's like there's a subjective awareness of love and support. So as you talk to yourself that way, you know, whereas it used to be like, "Oh man, how could you have done that? You idiot. You know, you're so stupid. I can't believe you did that. Oh, Jesus, you screwed it all up." You know, that used to be the self-talk. I can't remember the last time that was the way I talked to myself. But it took practice, right? It took practice. Talking to yourself every day, kind, respectful, loving, supportive. And you're all in. You've made a decision. You will not give up on yourself until you get the results you deeply desire. And then finally, you know, stay in the moment. Stay in today. As it says in the Bible, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto today are its own problems. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And it's true. If you take care of this moment, the next moment takes care of itself. If you take care of this day, the next day takes care of itself. And you can't take care of the next moment or tomorrow. The only way you can take the greatest care of tomorrow is by taking the greatest care of today. Right? Doesn't that make sense? It's actually true. Because there isn't any tomorrow except as an extension of today. Whatever quality you're not bringing to today can't just magically be there tomorrow. So one of the little tricks I do with like a to-do list is you have your to-do list, let's say. Maybe you have an index card of the five things you want to do today. But then take the one that matters most, put it on the other side of the index card. And that's face up. That's all you see. It's just one thing. And that is the only thing that matters today. And you just focus on and do that one thing as best you can. And when it's done, then you cross it off, turn over the card, and take the next one thing, turn the card over, write it on the other side. Now just do one thing. That's the only thing you have to do today. That's the only thing that matters. And if you get it done in 10 minutes, great. If you get it done in 10 hours, fine. It was going to take you what it's going to take you. But if you are looking at 10 things and trying to do one thing while thinking about the other nine and worrying that you're not going to get number eight done, and oh my God, when am I going to get number seven done? And if I don't get number six done, then number nine won't get done in time. And then I'm going to get broke, and then I'm going to be poor, and then I'm going to die, you know? And now you're dying inside while you're trying to do this one thing. All you were trying to do is send a damn email, and you're already feeling like you're going to die. Sound familiar? Just do the one thing. As best you can. And then do just the one next thing. Stay present. Stay in the moment. Do your best. Keep your appointments with yourself. Be kind. Be gentle with yourself. Organize your life to be on your side. Put it on your calendar. Make it real. Commit. And decide you're going to stay the course and you're going to stay in the course until you get the result you signed up for. Even if you have to go through it and go through it again. Wow, what a concept. I signed up for this course to master wealth consciousness. You get to the end of it and you got a little bit of results, but you're still struggling. Okay, let's maybe take a break for a week or two and then we have a date. We're going to start it again. You know, most of these courses have a component that you can access for a lifetime. So I'm going to listen to the calls. I'm going to do the modules, whatever the case may be. I'm going to get that result. If the result is you want to have a certain level of income, then, you know, it doesn't mean there's not other elements you might not need to work on, other programs that complement and augment and support it. But it's okay if you need to do the program again or work on a particular module again. Stay the course until you get the result you signed up for. And who you'll become and the character you'll develop and the healings and the insights you'll have, you'll get so much more out of it than you even put into it or that even I put into it. Because whatever's missing is what you're not giving. And if you give your all, you're going to get so much more out of it. One final thing I did forget to mention is get help, get support. If it's a live program, get on the calls, get in the groups, ask questions, raise your hand, stay engaged, be visible, especially if that's hard for you. If you're in a group, reach out and get an accountability buddy to work with you and set goals together and support each other on email or phone calls or Skype. Or if you have a friend or somebody in your life that you can reach out to and kind of support each other. Even if you're doing different things, they could be just like a general accountability partner. But you don't have to do this alone. Find help, find support, get a coach, get a partner, get in the group, get in a live version. So you have support, you have a goal, you have the reason why you're doing it. You have a real plan. You have it on your schedule. You're committed to keeping your appointments. You've made a decision that you matter, it matters, and you're going to stay the course and stay in the course until you get the result you signed up for. You're going to take deep, good care of yourself. You're going to organize your life and your relationships to be on your side, to support you. You're going to be on your own side. And you're going to get whatever help you can to move through it. And there is one more final thing. Enjoy the ride. Life is not a problem to be solved. It's an adventure to be lived. So this is your quick start training to help you really, you know, what I call the program success blueprint, to really set yourself up to win, to set yourself up so that this does not become more shelf help, but so that this program really works for you, really changes your life, and you look back and say, that was the moment that changed everything in that area. And you build this level of character and resilience that just has a transferring effect into all of your life. And eventually you just become unstoppable. That's my prayer and my intention for you. I hope this has served you. Until next time, remember to live authentically, love unconditionally, and follow your destiny.